Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
I am not a natural speaker, and actually this is a maiden voyage for me. I've never led a chat or anything, so.
Well, you are amongst friends. So.
Yes, and I do feel that way, and I want to thank each one personally for, you know, making me feel, because I've been in three churches in Fayetteville, 20 years in one, 20 years in another, and I hope to be at least 20 years or more here. And it was hard, because, I mean, not only was that body of Christ my fellow Christians, but I worked on their staff too. So I built a life with these people, and when the Lord was showing me, okay, it's, you need something different now. You're in a different season, and you need to learn something, some different things, because I had a lot of questions that weren't being answered. It was hard. When I came, my first day at Berean, I came by myself. A friend was supposed to come with me, and I called and she didn't answer her phone, and I was like, oh no. But I came anyway. I got out of the car, and lo and behold, I believe her name's Allison. It's been a while since I've seen Arlene. Yes, Arlene was getting there. She was running a little bit late, but God's perfect timing. Perfect timing. And I'm kind of an introvert, and so, you know, just coming up to people and talking is a challenge for me. But I was like, okay, I don't even know which door to go in. So I asked her, and she was just so excited. You've never been? Oh, yes. And, I mean, she just basically just wrapped her arms around me and said, let's go. And on the way in, she introduced me to, you know, the greeters. And I did go and sit by myself. I didn't want anybody to feel obligated that they had to babysit me. So, but afterwards, she was standing in the back. And she was waiting for me. And she said, would you like to go to a Sunday school class? And I was like, sure. And she brought me to Michelle's class, the ladies' class, Titus 2. And it was her maiden voyage, first time she was leading a class. So we've all gotten to grow together in the past 2 years, and it's been very, very exciting. At about age 15, I knew what I was looking for. The church I grew up in, I grew up in a Baptist church, and I saw people during the week live a different lifestyle than, you know, the holier than thou, you've got to be a good girl, Sunday version of themselves. And I was like, I want more. You know, this was the end of the 60s, you know, it's all about getting in touch with yourself and, you know, the
no,
crazy.
Most of these people don't know.
Oh, you know what? That is correct. Oh, that is correct. That is correct. You know, now that I'm, yeah. Well, anyway, it was the long hair and the hippies, and it was, you know, that if it feels good, do it era. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that has birthed, whew, a mess is what it has done, you know. But at any rate, I told the Lord, I said, I want a day-to-day, moment-by-moment, when you need to rock my world and put me on the right path, I want to be able to hear you and know that it's your voice. And from that point, I have had a very interesting, awesome, loving relationship with God, and I'm so excited that the older I get, the more there is to learn. You can't learn it all. You cannot learn it all. We can be here for eternity, and we're still going to be seeing how wonderful God is in our life. Jan touched, not Jan. I'm sorry. No, Pam. Thank you. Pam kind of. just don't call you late for dinner, right? So she kind of touched a little bit on how we came to Berean, and you know, that that was birthed out of, I knew that I did not know how to rightly divide the word. Somehow in all my walk from age 15 to 66, I had missed that. Just the churches that I was in, just, you know, either they taught it and it just flew over my head, or I just didn't get it. And so that was where, that's what caused me to look elsewhere. So I was asked to lead a chat on joy, and I was like, I think I can do that. And Bonnie sent a podcast about joy, and I sat at my table, and I just began to just weep, because I began to realize that, yes, I did have some things right, but there were so many places that I've looked back on my life, and I was like, if I had just known this, my life lived so far below what Jesus Christ paid for. And I just wept, and I could feel the Holy Spirit, you know, comfort me and come around me and say, but you're on the right path now. And I have learned so much, and it has made such a difference just in the past few months of studying what it means to live a life walking in joy, that my day-to-day circumstances that have happened, I can see a difference in my reactions and how I handle those situations. So let's start. Could someone look up Nehemiah 8:10 and read it for me, please?
Nehemiah
8:10.
And eat what is rich, drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing prepared, since today is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your stronghold.
Okay. So the joy of the Lord is my strength. So joy is strength. Joy is like a superpower that makes you strong. It makes you strong enough to resist temptation, because you don't want to hurt the heart of God. Strong enough to forgive those, because you don't want bitterness in your soul. Strong enough to see the battle to the end, because he will complete a work in you. So when the tests and trials come, joy is birthed out of knowing God's character. Could someone look up Romans 8:28? I'm gonna run you through the. I'll run you through the paces this morning.
And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose.
So I can put my trust and my confidence in God's character in many ways, but here's the two that I really seem to pounce on. One is what the Bible says about him. You know, that's pretty obvious. And the second way is through my life's experiences, through the trials and the sufferings in my life. And through those trials and those sufferings, instead of looking at them like, why, God, are you allowing this to happen in my life? Look at it like you get to have a front row seat to what God's word is, and how it can apply to you and be real in your life. So I did find a book that I did enjoy reading, and it had some things laid out, so I thought I would bring those points to you. He had nine, but I made it into eight. I like to kind of make it my own. And this is where I'm going to speak a little bit, and then I'm going to ask a question. So Please don't leave me hanging. Y'all did great with Dee Dee yesterday morning, so, you know, give me the same graciousness, please. The first thing is give thanks. Give thanks. Could someone look up 1 Thessalonians 5:18?
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes.
Family cut. That's what my Bible says.
So my question, that's, you know, that's kind of obvious. Give thanks. Well, what are you thankful for? What are ways to give thanks?
I'm thankful that I'm awake every morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thankful for my daughter, son-in-law, and my two grandsons alive. And I'm thankful for my social skills here. Mm-hmm. She brought this one with her.
Very good. Anyone else? Well, here are a couple.
If you could just give somebody a smile and let you think that simple, you might need that.
Yes, very true. Yes, smile is very important. So you count your blessings. Do you get up each day? What's the first thing on your mind? Is it, okay, I need to do this, I need to go to the store, and your list just goes on and on and on. I have to admit, sometimes that's how I wake up and I start going. But since I've been studying joy, I'm like, okay, what am I thankful for today? And, you know, I mean, my list, I've lived a long time, so it can get pretty long. So, you know, I get up and get moving. Another thing I like to do is at night, I thank the Lord for the day that I had. And that kind of gives me a moment, and it gives the Holy Spirit a moment to say, great, Karen, but you could have handled this better. Or sometimes I get a good job. I love those nights. I can go to sleep with a smile on my face, you know, instead of laying there awake going, oh no, I'm such a sinful creature. But, you know, there again, we don't live under condemnation in that, so the Lord, He works on that in me also.
It's a command that implies purpose. Like, you have to give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not as natural, so we have to put the intent there to stop and give thanks, to turn back and give thanks, to look forward to give thanks.
Yes, yes. How many of you whine and complain? I do.
My Bible says, give me cup.
Pam's got her name in the Bible. Woohoo! So instead of the whining, begin to thank Him, to praise Him. Put on a song that you like to sing. You know, we've got some great music in our church. Pull some of those up and let that fill your mind. As you start practicing these things, what happens is that you get better and better and better, you know, at it. Instead of something happens and out flows this vile garbage out of your mouth, you know, you first learn right here. Let's stop it here. But if it's still all going on in here, you know, you still got some work to do. So once you can get a hold of this, then the Holy Spirit can start working on what's going on in your heart and showing you. And then as you submit to that, and you may have to ask for help. Lord, I really do not feel like forgiving this person, but I'm going to find a scripture that talks about forgiveness, and that's that I'm going to retrain my mind and get your mind going in a different direction. And of course, say thank you. How many times can you say thank you during the day? Yeah, we thank our kids, our husband, our friends, family, you know, and exactly, you know, that's the greatest witness is going out. I know when I retired, I was like, okay, what in the world, where is the ground I can witness on, you know, I mean, other than my family. And so the Holy Spirit took me on this little journey. He was like, okay, so when you go to the store, you know, put a smile on your face. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I do smile. And I saw a picture in my mind of what people must see when they see me coming, because when I'm going to the store, I've got this. I am focused. I got a list. My husband doesn't want me going in there with this, because he'll be like, she'll come home with everything, you know. And so I learned, okay, I've got a budget and I've got to be careful. So let's you know, focus. And the Lord said, you look angry. I'm like, I do. So I went and got in front of a mirror and I looked, I did my focus face, you know. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't approach you either, you know. So, and it was hilarious, because when I first started being aware of that, I'd get out of my car, focus look, and the Holy Spirit would say, smile, and I'd go. And I'm like, that has got to scare people. And so from that point, and then the natural, you know, you just bubble up because it's funny. I mean, that looked ridiculous, right? So I could just imagine, you know, and I, as I'm learning to do this, what people must think. So, number two, practice silence. Now, this was one that I didn't quite get until I started really looking into it. Job 6:24, anybody?
Me and I will be silent. Make me understand how I have gone astray.
Mm-hmm. So constant noise fills our days. Our TVs are on in the living room. We put music on maybe in the morning. We get in our car and go to work. It's always this chatter. You know, your phone is going off. It's dinging. You know, somebody is looking for my attention, or somebody, something wants my attention. So I was like, practice silence. So if I'm quiet, if I quieten myself, then the Holy Spirit has time to, you know, tap into some of the scriptures that, you know, you maybe just heard Sunday morning or Sunday evening. And you have a chance, the Holy Spirit has a chance to bring some of those things to your mind. And so if we get up in the mornings, for me personally, my time is the morning time. There's a lot of times that the Holy Spirit will wake me up at 3 o'clock and we'll have a little conversation. Or, I mean, it's just a thought. I met with a friend, and when we were speaking, I said something that, you know, it wasn't wrong, but it could have been taken wrong. So on the way home from our meeting, I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, if I said anything that is not of you or that could be misconstrued, please bring it to my attention. Well, at 3 o'clock in the morning, he did. And he showed me how, you know, it because of where you've been and the things you have learned, this is how it could have come across. So I was like, I can see that. So I had to go back to my friend and let her know, you know, this is what I said, and what I should have said is this. And so through that, you know, the Holy Spirit was able, and he did let me go back to sleep. As soon as I've learned, don't argue, don't get on the defensive, don't say, no, Lord, I didn't do that. No, I'll just go ahead and say, okay. And if you really got it, most of the time he'll let you go back to sleep. Yeah. So how do we silence the noise? What do we do?
Turn things off.
Yes. Turn things off.
Find a quiet place. Prayer closet or quiet place.
Do you have a prayer like closet?
I don't.
Okay.
It would be nice.
It would be, yes.
Yeah.
That's great.
Back porch.
Ah, yes, back porch. That's
for me,
awesome.
It's to go outside by myself.
Listen to that.
Yeah. Too much noise in the house.
There's no way of shutting it all down. Get out.
I think all of y'all hit on that. Stop, breathe, and think. Limit your screen time. Can you put your phone away for a few hours? When you're waiting in line, look around. You know, it boggles my mind because I'm older. How much my phone was controlling my life. You know, I'd be standing in line playing a little game on the phone, and of course I put it away when I got up to the cashier. That's what sign tells you to do. And one thing I've learned, you need to look at signs and do what they say. Funny story, I got locked out the other day because the door, the sign on my door said at 11 o'clock the doors will be locked. And if you wish to, you know, come back in the room, you need to, you know, go around the other way. So, I was trying to be quiet and mindful of my bunk mates. And, so I walked out that door and tried to get into the main room. And guess what? The door was locked. Now, this was 5 o'clock in the morning. So
Yesterday.
Yes. Standing out in my pajamas and a house coat. And I get cold very quickly. I'm sure y'all see me wrapped up in a blanket around here. And it was like, okay. And so when the gentleman came, you know, at almost 6:30 to unlock the door, I looked at him and I said, I did see the sign, but I didn't think y'all really meant it. I meant it as a joke. And he looked at me like, I just gave the wrong impression there. I'm really not an idiot, you know, but anyway.
Lesson learned.
I didn't do that this morning. Okay. Number 3, have fun. When did you become so boring? I can look at my life and go, what in the world, Karen? You know, you go around with this angry look on your face and, you know, why? So I get out and there's things that, let's back up and do the scripture verse. John 10:10. And someone else, can you look up Genesis 21:6.
10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
And Genesis 21:6.
And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me.
I read that and I was like, I've heard it before. I mean, we just did a study in Genesis and I know we've read that, but in context of studying joy, God made Sarah to laugh. So how much laughter is in your life? You know, do you let the cares of the day just weigh you down? Or do you stop and let the thing work itself out instead of it working you up to where you can't even see straight? So what does bring you joy? What brings you laugh? What is fun in your life?
My husband is funny. That's actually that's one of my favorite things about him is he always knows how to make me laugh. I so appreciate it. He can tell when I need it. And he will do something.
How has that affected? How has that helped your marriage?
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Very reliable. He knows me better than anyone else, and that's as it should be. So.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Does anybody have crafts or hobbies that you do?
Sewing.
Yep. Reading. Read a good book.
Making homemade candles.
Oh. Okay, ladies, if everybody will speak up, we'll find out who does what around here.
And I also do the dots that they show, diamond
dots.
I got a whole bunch of hanging at my house. My husband says, no more. Shakers makes me happy. I read romance books. I got bookshelves. of them. I read them.
Yeah,
I read them. Yeah.
Yes.
I just get joy out of them.
Yes. And a time with my grandkids.
Grandkids.
I love when the girls will be like, could you watch them?
Karen.
And it's a privilege.
Yes.
Yeah. That it, our children and our, especially our grandchildren. With your children, you are responsible for the discipline and everything else. It's so easy to get wrapped up in that. Young mothers in the room, try to learn to enjoy your children because they will be grown. It doesn't mean that they still don't need you, but it is a different field. It's great when your kids grow up and they become your friends. That is a great season of my life right now. And then the grandchildren that they bring me, they are, I have one, little Ellie, and she is me all over again. I mean, we can sit for hours. I like to do quilling. It's a paper art. It's very intricate and very time consuming. And she will sit there, she's three. And, you know, she'll thread the little paper and it doesn't really look anything like it should yet, but I keep telling her, you keep practicing, by 8, you'll have your own business. Then you can support Grandma. Number 4, love yourself. I also struggled with this one because I've always heard, okay, you deny yourself, you pick up your cross, you follow me. You know, what's that got to do with me loving me? And as I began to study, I started to see the Bible does talk about loving yourself. That would be in Mark 12:31. Yes.
The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment greater than these.
Who was speaking? Jesus was speaking. He was, that was straight from the master's mouth. You know, no other greater commandment than these. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I got to thinking, well, how do I love myself? Evidently I do. I just, you know, maybe haven't acknowledged that. So I got to thinking about it. So what are your thoughts? How do you love yourself?
Not well.
Okay. Not well.
I think as mothers we pour so much time into our children and our husbands and our homes and our jobs that we become the last thing.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, you're empty.
Yes. I used to tell my husband, you know, I don't even think my name is on the list. It's not that I'm at the bottom. You know, I was having one of those real moments with him. I mean, not that he was ever unkind. He worked 70, 80 hours a week for 20-some years. I was a stay-at-home mom. I mean, who could afford daycare for all those kids? So, and I don't have a degree that would earn me $200,000 a year, you know. So I was it. I took care of the kids. So it wasn't that my husband was unkind or unfeeling. It was just it was us two against all of them. And we had to come together and make it work. But there were so many times, you know, my husband went out in the world. He had to have shoes. He had to have the clothes. And, you know, and of course the kids, they needed shoes and clothes. And a lot of times I just had to make do and keep patching. I did learn to sew. You keep patching things and making things work. But over time, and this is something I wish that someone had come alongside me and taught me, Karen, the younger Karen, love yourself. Eat right. You know, my kids, we'd have dinner and they'd eat their food, and before I could even sit down to eat my food, they're picking the food off of my plate. So, you know, I don't know how I got the size I am, but, you know. You eat healthy. Why not take a spa day? Go get your nails done or your feet done. You know, whatever. Yeah, I don't do feet either. Jesus talks about us washing each other's feet. So, you know, and it might be something to think about. This is one point that I thought was super important because I do this all the time. Don't compare yourself with others. You know, don't look at her life and go, she's got it all together. You don't really know that. You know. And the gifts that God has given you and your circumstances and your life is, that's what God is using to make you more like Him. So embrace that. You know, don't compare your size and, oh, I thought what was said last night in Michelle's group about intimacy was wonderful, how, you know, our husbands look at us. They don't see all the lumps and the bumps and the cellulite and all of that. They see a beautiful woman, you know. And I thought, wow. So, no, I would love to be a nice 36, 24, 36, you know. Way, I know. But I'm not. So I sometimes, you know, I just stand in the mirror and just look at myself and say, okay, this is you, and you need to learn to love that. Now, can I take better care of myself? You betcha. You know, I know what works for my body. Do I always eat the way I should? Or no, I don't. I fall, you know, I get up and I'm great for 30 days, and then after that we, you know, fall off the wagon. But I keep getting up and trying it again. Another thing, get enough sleep. And I know new moms, that's a hard thing. I can remember many days that, you know, my first thought when I would wake up would be like, how long will it be before I can crawl back into this bed? Ladies, that is not a good place to be in. And like I said, if somebody had just took me aside and said, here's how you can live this joyful life that Jesus Christ paid for, my life could have been so much different, you know. So try to get, you know, baby takes a nap, you take one too, you know. So
housework will be there later.
Exactly. The laundry can wait. Number 5, make friends. Proverbs 27:9, please. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And this is another area where I fall very short in, is making friends. I mean, even now, I still have a busy life, and my children call me a lot, and we spend a lot of time talking on the phone, but what I fail to do is get to know some of you a lot better. And I'm on that journey, so, you know, I'll be upfront and honest. This is one that, you know, with the job that I had, I was in the background a lot. I did a housekeeping at another church, and, you know, we were always cleaning up after everybody's events and everything. And through that, it just put me in the background. So for 17 years, that's where my life has been. So stepping out there and making friends has definitely been a challenge. But I did find something that I thought was incredible. It changed my whole perspective of what us ladies together, what it means. Friendship, a spiritual pillar. A great analogy for the spiritual power of friendship can be found in the world's largest trees. Sequoias are the biggest trees on earth. Among their most famous is the General Sherman tree. Its base circumference is over 100 feet. It stretches almost 275 feet into the air. Its estimated weight is 6,167 tons. The fire-resistant bark of a sequoia can be up to 2 feet thick. Some sequoias on Earth today are over 3,000 years old and still are healthy and growing. Hiking in a sequoia forest is a very strange experience. It's also eerily beautiful and dangerous. On a windy day, they call sequoias quiet killers. Something as harmless as a branch falling silently to the ground for a hiker is the equivalent of having a regular-sized tree fall on you. But the most shocking thing about the mighty sequoia is this. Their roots only go about 5 feet deep. How, you ask, can such a mighty tree stand with such shallow roots? It's simple. Their roots don't stretch deep, they stretch wide. They interlock with a forest of other mighty trees. Just so, the only way to grow into our full stature of as children of God is to be connected with other Christians at our roots. Think about that. When the storms of life is coming your way, who do you have that you're connected with that you can call and say, I'm struggling. I'm not going to make it through this day. I need some help. Who can you call? And if you don't have a name that pops in your mind right now, I strongly suggest you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to bring that person into your life, because I know, I did it. I prayed, and I mean, it took a little time, but I have a friend that it doesn't matter what situation is, she is a godly woman, and I know that when my perspective has gotten askew, she's gonna straighten me out. And that is the greatest relationship. There's some great women sitting right here, and it's just amazing. Reach out. We should be here for each other. So how do I reach out? I'm shy. I'm introverted. Maybe they won't like me. Maybe I'm not pretty enough. I'm not cool, you know. So how? How do you make friendships?
You can't make a friend if you don't try.
Pardon me?
I said you can't make a friend if you don't try. You have to be the one willing to step out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
Invite somebody to lunch or coffee. Even though I don't like coffee.
You like ice cream?
I do love it. Ask anybody in my group. That was my favorite thing.
Yes, I have tried that, especially since studying this. I called up a classmate, and we went and had lunch, and we stayed there for over 3 hours. It's like, what? It's 4 o'clock. What happened? But it was so much fun, and I walked away so energized. And I'm gonna call you out, Laura. I don't know what it did for you, but
same.
I was like, man, this was great. I've got to do this more often. So, and I know we all have busy lives, but, you know, sometimes you just have to cut out some of that. Oh, forget about the laundry. Let it sit on the couch. Let it sit on the couch. Go have coffee with a friend or ice cream or attend if they have children, attend their sports games with them. You know, there's so many different ways. Think out of the box. How can I connect? Pray together. I think most of you in here are really good at that. You know, you pray together. Ask those questions. What are you struggling with? What's going on in your world? You know, I know we all come up, hey, how you doing? and you're seeing it as you're zipping by each other. Just slow down a little bit and look the other person in the face. Look eye to eye. And that, I don't know, it just seems to change things. I've done that before, and you know, you never know what's going on in somebody's life, and you never know how God is going to use just you stopping and asking the question. You may not have an answer for them, but you can always pray, and you can ask the Holy Spirit. You know, it's something to hear somebody pray over you, and you hear the words out loud. Holy Spirit, lead them, guide them, direct them, show them. And what that does, it just makes our confidence in God just soar. It just blossoms. And you just walk away feeling a little more uplifted. Iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Proverbs 27:17. Okay, so we're out there, we're making friends, and then that friend has a bad day and she says something that really hurts my feelings.
Forgive.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. You've got to learn to let some things go. So when the bumps in the roads of the friendships come, and they will, you know, just kind of, you know, be aware and be, Lord, you know, I don't know what's going on in Susie's life, but I'm going to choose. I'm going to make the choice to forgive. And, you know, of course, by all means, you get a chance to talk with Susie later. Ask her, hey, when you said this, what did you mean? Yeah.
Did you really mean to be that hurtful?
Right. So you take that time, in most cases, at least it gives the other person, and if they are your friend, they're not going to want this bitterness between you, because it divides, and that's what the enemy wants. So it gives them a chance to say, oh, I didn't mean that at all. And then they explain. Or they might say, yeah, I was really having a bad day, and, you know, I snapped and I shouldn't have, or I shouldn't have said that. And at least it gives them a chance to get the slate clean. And if you were the one that misunderstood, well, that gives you a chance to straighten that out. Number six, rest. I'm just going to go ahead and read that. It's Mark 6:31. And this was Jesus speaking. And when he said to them, come you yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. So when we don't rest, we get cranky. Or at least I do. Resting helps us to live in the moment, smell the roses, to reflect, to unplug, take a breath. So how do you rest? What does your rest or your Sabbath, when you are taking a Sabbath, what do you do with it?
Moments like, oh good, the kids are in the bathroom. I'm going to sit down just a second. They're in the bathtub or whatever, or shower. And it's just, I'm going to put my phone away and I just need to sit and, like you said earlier, just take a breath, just breathe.
Very good. Yes. Just breathe. Any other ways to rest? Think outside the box a little bit.
For me, my husband's built a screened in back porch in our house. Is just go out there after school. I have papers to grade. They go home. I sit on my back porch, grade papers, because we have all kinds of birds in our yard. Mm. Just sitting there, watching the birds play, feed, splashing in the bird bath. It's very restful, very
yes.
peaceful. And I just kind of refresh even though I'm grading papers, I'm refreshing, not my desk grading papers. I'm where I like to be.
So resting isn't necessarily going and taking a nap. It's also an activity. You know, you might have a hobby that you like to do. How does doing Diamond Dots make you feel?
Great. I turn on the music, listen to do it. Right now I'm working on one, the picture of my mom and dad.
Oh, wow.
I've got two more to go on it, and I'm going to pray for reunion in August. I'm taking those with me.
So does everybody know what Diamond Dots are? Okay, so it's these itty bitty little tiny dots. They're all different colors, and then you get this big canvas, or small, whatever the size is, and you take this little tool that they have, and it's kind of like sticky stuff that you stick down in, and then you go get the color dot, one dot. Now they do have tools you can do more, but I haven't mastered that yet. One dot, and you go over here and you put it on. It's color coded. It's color coded. Yeah,
it is. By pixel, paint by pixel.
Yes. And it's, you know, it's very that repetitive motion. Now, for some people, it'd be like, I've got a friend, my best friend, she would be like, Karen, that is you all day long. I'm like, Chiba, I'd be pulling my hair. I don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to watch you do it. So, you know.
I recommend to you get the light to go underneath of it. It brings the number up brighter so you can see the numbers. I got her started on.
Yeah, color pictures.
Yeah, a friend of mine does that.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's all kind of stuff out there. You know, there's paint pens and colored pens. I mean, there's so many things that you could do if that's your forte. Now, you really extroverted people, y'all, I should have probably got with y'all and said, okay, what do you do to dress? Yeah.
Even gone coffee with a friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a rest.
Sometimes I just sit in Jan's office and cry. So no, sit in there and talk with her. You know, even just a minute in the day when it's really busy. You know, stop for a moment and engage with a friend and share something good or a burden. It's relaxing.
Yes, very good. What about enjoying your meal? Do you sit down and enjoy your food? Do you really taste it? Or do you have to just wolf it down real quick, you know, so the kids don't grab it?
The pancakes, that fruit, oh my goodness.
Wasn't it good?
I was like, I
could
eat that.
Let's move on to number 7 is serve. Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So when we serve others, our focus shifts away from what's going on in my life, what's wrong, and it shifts over to how can I help? And there's nothing like the power of feeling that you did something good for somebody else, you know. So how do you serve?
Meal trains.
Pardon me?
Meal trains.
Meal trains. Nursery.
I think praying for people is a huge service. We don't see it. It doesn't sometimes seem like we're doing a lot, but you know, obviously it's the most powerful thing.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Yes.
Sending encouragement cards.
Sending encouragement cards. That's really good. Yes, writing those handwritten letters. And number 8, frame your mind with faith. So faith comes by
hearing
the word of God. So, and also Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So do you allow your circumstances frame your moods? Frame your thoughts. It's your circumstances or how you feel about something in the moment. Is that framing how you react? I have found that when I go, if something happens and I you feel the anger rise up, or you feel the frustration rise up. If I act on that, I've just made a very poor choice and messed up, you know, relationships, or, you know, you just cannot think clearly. So when you frame your mind with faith or with the Word of God, you know, take, when something happens, take that moment, you know, you got to slow it down a little bit. Take that moment. What does the Scripture say about this situation? Most of the time, you know, be quiet, be still, know that I'm God. I think all of us know that one, you know. Find, get you a verse that, you know, you've read it enough and you've drilled it enough into yourself that it becomes a part of you. And that can at least help you slow it down. So how do you frame your mind with faith?
Starting up with good music.
Good music.
Gospel music, you know, spiritual music, praise and worship music. That's the word I was looking for.
Yes.
I was getting there slowly. go through all the words.
Yes.
I think having some verses that have been personal to you, have those memorized, and in those moments, like, step away and call that to mind, or, you know, have it on a post-it note nearby, wherever you're really busy, like the kitchen for me, trying to do dinner, and the kids are coming in fighting, but just having the word in your heart to call upon. So memorize, it can be something short, you can memorize it, it's a song, there are lots of playlists on Spotify to, like, learn the scripture, so mm-hmm. just having something to tap right into.
Yes.
So, I try to listen to sermons on my way to work, first thing in the morning, you know, my drive, it's a little hard to that quiet time or anything like that in the morning with five kids and three on the bus. I find that listening to Irwin Lutzer or Jeremiah or just someone else, you know, what they're preaching on, each one kind of helps us start the day.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yep. What about the community of believers? Do you tap into your friends? You know, let them encourage you and uplift you. I mean, if you're, as believers, you know, we shouldn't be getting together and running anybody or anything down. You know, it's fine to give your opinion on something, but, you know, what do you do with that opinion? You know, does what you have to say, does it build the other person up? And so the community of believers, I think it's learning about joy and walking in joy. I just gave you 8 points that I kind of threw at you. Just take one and work on it. You know, I identified very quickly several things in my own life. I have trouble, you know, it's not that I'm not friendly. I think that I'm a friendly person, but it's just taking that time and putting myself out there. And the enemy has, you know, done a tap dance on my head with some of my thoughts of yeah, they may not like me, I'm a little bit weird, I you know, scripturally unsound, I don't know doctrine, and, you know, all of the things. But I'm learning that if I step out there and put the Holy Spirit always meets me there. Always. Well, thank you, ladies. I hope that has helped.